Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, the ultimatum season two recap of episode one and two. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, I'm kind of torn. The fact that they're calling this season two. Because technically, this should be season three, right?
Technically. Right. They did, because they did one season with the, I believe it was lesbian couples.
Yeah, the queer, was it Queer for Love or Queer Love? The Ultimatum Queer Love. So yeah. What's up with this separate but equal thing?
Well, but I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. You can't quite have straight couples and LGBTQ couples all in the same season.
What? And equal rights. No, it's not the same season, but it's the same show, right? Is it not the same show?
It should be. It should be the same. So to me, this should be season three.
Yeah, because it should have been the ultimatum. Season two, Queer Love. Now season four, Queer Love. And whatever y'all decide to do. But this should be season three. I'm sorry. Nick and Vanessa, we need to talk about this. I know Nick finally listened to us and stopped saying, and of course, I'm Nick Lachey, which we're very happy for. But what is up with this separate but equal? We know how that always panned out in the past.
It's true. True. I agree. This technically should be season three, but whatever reason they're doing what they did, I get it. Mm-hmm. But you know, overall, first couple episodes compared to season one that we recapped before.
Right.
You know, what do you think so far? Same, different, better?
Well, okay. The concept of this is interesting, right? And when I say interesting, not because it's something that I think, oh man, this would be great to do. No. If I ever have to offer an ultimatum, it means it's probably time to go, right? And but the concept of it is interesting in the fact that people, it's like Temptation Island, except the difference is Temptation Island gives you a bunch of singles who are there to take you away from your significant other. This one puts you with the same people. You're all around each other. It's a limited number of people. And here you are in this space and you live with this one person for 2 weeks. And then you got to go back to that old thing and see if it still works.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you got to put someone in this position to give them an ultimatum, it's like, why even do it? So part of me thinks your motive is not for love. Your motive is for likes and whatever you're going to do with whatever fame you get from being on the show. Because like, what's the point of doing that? If you have to really go on a show to do this with, you know, your family and friends all watching, I feel like you have an ulterior motive.
So is that the same concept that you're thinking of in going through somebody's phone? Like if you got to go through the phone, you already know what's up. Might as well just call it. Okay. All right. So, well, let's just call it quits right now then. So all the couples, it's over. Show's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
Yeah. The one thing I noticed with this one, it's a lot of editing because they cut out a lot of conversation, like mid-conversation.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. Y'all are just trying to get us to hear what you want us to hear.
Right.
But I noticed that seemed a little bit different where season one, I think it was a lot more of the conversation was together.
Yeah.
Not so much cut up. Mm-hmm. So this one just seems like a lot of cut up conversations where it can go either way.
Right.
You know,
I have one more suggestion for Nick and Vanessa. Yo, do not dump eight episodes on us like that again. Okay. Four would have been fine. Another four this week. Another, you know, in the final four. But dump, the final two. But dumping eight episodes on us and then two. For those of us who are going to recap the show, that's a lot to do in a week. Eight episodes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot to do. Believe me, I know. Luckily, it's on Netflix, so there's no commercials. You can just binge and knock them out. And they're like around, 1 hour or so long?
Yeah.
So it's not as bad compared to some of the other shows that we do. But I do agree that eight episodes and then a week later, you're going to drop the next two. That gives us 7 days to try to watch eight episodes and recap all of it before they drop the last two. That's a lot.
They said F your other shows. And by the way, I just want to say, so I was in Cleveland this weekend, right? For Summer Jam, and ran into Drew. And you know, he's been one of our faithfuls from the minute we dropped even our pre-episode one episodes. And he's like you. He's like, yeah, I never would have watched Love is Blind, but Netflix, no commercials. I like that.
Yeah.
So we're seeing if he's going to jump on board for this one too, for the ultimatum.
Well, curious to see what he thinks. I mean, the concept of this show is just really different, but you know, there's some things that I think we'll have fun talking about.
I'm sure. Well, let's start. let the fun begin. First couple up, Antonio and Roxanne, who have been together for 4 years, right? These two are pretty close in age, 30 and 31. And apparently Antonio issued the ultimatum. And Roxanne is like, yeah, I'm not trying to be with him because you're just not focused enough.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years, long time to be together. So I could see why maybe we're like, hey, are we going to do this or not?
Right.
You know, Roxanne seems to be very driven, very ambitious. All she talks about is career. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of someone else that had their own beauty salon Married at First Sight in Nashville.
My salon.
Yeah, yeah. Just all about the business. Right. And then her partner is like total opposite. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, no drive, no ambition, no real career, no money.
Now, when she said that, I was like, is that really the case? And as we go further along in the season, we'll realize that, you know, maybe she was telling more of the truth than we. Because I was like, OK, this is an over exaggeration. Maybe he's not, you know, excelling like you are, but you may just be an overachiever and he's a slightly underachiever or just an achiever. We'll find out later how that really pans out.
Yeah. You know, and just some of like the little things, you know, he doesn't plan and do things for her.
Right.
You know, which if she's doing all the work, making all the money, maybe I could see her point.
Yeah, he needs to plan some stuff. I mean,
to plan some stuff, do something. But if she's working from 7 a.m. to midnight, I'm like, what is your job? Even though I know you're an entrepreneur, but still.
And when is he supposed to plan some? But the hours you're sleeping?
Exactly. I mean, he has a six, 7 hour window.
Yeah.
Because playing something with you?
You got to give at least an hour for her to wake up, brush her teeth, wipe the crust out of her eyes, and get ready to entrepreneur again.
And then put on all that makeup, especially the lipstick around all the lip injections. That takes time.
I'm sure
you just can't easily just whoop, 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 you know.
I'll paint that on real quick.
That's some serious lip injections there.
Yo, I tell you, if it's one thing, y'all ease off the lip injections. Seriously, it looks crazy. But one of the things is that I noticed that Roxanne said is that she wonders if it's him. Is it Antonio that's the problem? Or that she just doesn't believe in marriage?
Which is interesting that she doesn't believe in marriage when she talks about, you know, my parents are married and all that stuff. She gets
it. My grandparents are married.
I don't know what she thinks. At this stage of it, I don't see why she's so negative on marriage that to me, it leads me to believe it's probably Antonio.
That's what I thought too.
She can't see herself
immediately
married. Like the concept of marriage, I don't think she's against, but I think it's more, do I want to spend my life with this dude? Do I have to push and nudge just to get up out of bed every morning and stop playing video games? Like, is this the reason I'm doubtful on marriage?
Here's the thing about this though. They've been together 4 years, right? And this is the thing I never understood about people who stayed in relationships and go like, I don't know that I want to marry this person. Then why are you still with them? Because if you're not dating for a purpose, why are you wasting a good monogamous relationship on somebody you don't see yourself with long-term, right? It's just crazy to me. And what Antonio is saying in this thing, he's like, look, if she doesn't say yes, I'm gone. And I like that. I'm giving you the ultimatum, but you got to stick to the ultimate. If this is what it is, you got to stick to it. I think you said that season one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to stick to it. You can't bring them on the show and then backpedal, you know, afterwards because they didn't say yes.
Right. Well, our next couple up, Lisa and Brian, they've been together for 2 years, so half the time of Antonio and Roxanne. And Lisa is the one who issued the ultimatum, and she doesn't understand. I mean, come on. We've been together 2 years. Why haven't you proposed yet?
Well, it's because she's older. And her biological clock is ticking. She wants to have babies, but she doesn't want to have babies unless they're married. Mm-hmm. I think Brian's hesitation from what he says is that they're not in a good financial place, which really means he's not in a good financial place. Mm-hmm. She is, because I think it seems like she's probably more the breadwinner, makes more money than he does. Mm-hmm. And so that's his hesitation. And I'm wondering, is that why he feels he can't propose yet? Because he doesn't want to get married to a woman who has the financial power.
Because you always talk about that financial power and who has the say-so in the relationships. That's something you do highlight a lot. And the fact that when the woman has it, that can emasculate the man in a kind of way, especially if the man is not strong enough to be able to deal with it. And mm-hmm. let's be honest, Brian doesn't seem like he's going to be the strongest man in that case, right? Because one of the things he's asking is like, well, what's it going to change if I propose? Everything. And he feels like he's being forced, which is okay. That says a lot. If you feel like you're being forced, why are y'all even here?
Well, and then why do you say things like, I want to be with you for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, then why not propose?
Exactly.
What's the difference? Mm. You know what I mean? And it'd be one thing if Brian was, I don't believe in the concept of marriage mm-hmm. or whatever, because you got a lot of people who have that mindset that marriage is just a piece of paper. It doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
But that's not the case for him.
Right.
So I just feel it's sketch. You know, don't tell someone I want to spend my life with you.
Right.
Can't see my life without you. And they're like, let's get married. I don't know yet. We're not ready.
And that was to the three fellas that are listening right now. to remember that, because seriously, guys can say that and not think anything about it, but that says a lot. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. That says to a woman, oh, he's getting ready to propose.
Right. Right.
You can't, that's like, you can't say I love you to get the draws and think that she's not going to believe that you, and then you start acting like you don't want her after that because you said I love you. So, and the same thing, you can't say I want to spend the rest of my life with you. No, I'm not ready for marriage. Why are you rushing this?
Right. Yeah. So, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. You're the best roommate I've ever had.
And it kind of explains everything that happened next, because I was like, what the heck just happened? In the middle of the night, Lisa has a whole, it's the last night of everybody together, and she has a whole breakdown, and she just keeps saying, I want to go home. Don't touch me. I want to go home. No, give me back the phone. I want to call them. I want my things. I want to go home. And I'm like, this is going to be great. Because this is drama on the last night. This is early. What's happening?
My thought is, okay, you were the one that issued the ultimatum.
Yes.
You put all these balls in motion to get y'all to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to back out mm-hmm. because you have fear and concern, or you're worried about your man trying to date other people and what the whole experience is going to be like. Then why'd you sign up for it?
So here's the thing. And this is how you know that this is not the first time this has happened, because the next morning, Brian tells Lisa, all right, look, as they're sitting there talking about, here's what's going to happen. Now we're going to end up breaking up, you know, for the purpose of TV. And when she sees him dating other people, she needs to work on her reaction. And as we find out later, he knew exactly what he was talking about. He knows this woman very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows crazy.
Yeah.
And Lisa is the more things that come out about her, I'm like, yeah, Brian, I can see why you're a little hesitant to marry her. But that's why you should break up, because she's the type that she's not going to let you break up. She's like, if I can't have you, no one will type of person. That's what I get.
He said, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Next couple up, James and Ryan. These two been together since she was 16, right? They said they've been together 7 years, but the math ain't mathing, because they're 24. So it feels like they've been together 8 years. Because if they've been together, you know, they're both.
Keep 24. In mind when this show was done, September 2022.
Yeah.
So during that time, yes, 7 years. Today, right. We're like, the math doesn't math, but
the math,
when she said it made sense. And so you think about it, okay, high school sweethearts, they're mm-hmm. 16 when they first started dating, and Ryan issues the ultimatum. And so I'm like, okay, I'm curious to see what's going on with this couple.
Right.
And then when they said that they've never spent more than 2 weeks together, and that was a family vacation that was supervised. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is this religious reasons? You know,
I didn't even think of that at first.
Because I just thought that was odd.
I just thought it was weird. I just didn't think about a religious thing. But yeah.
I'm just like, even when y'all were in college, you just didn't come stay the weekend, you know, whatever with each other.
A weekend is not 2 weeks. They said 2 weeks is... Here's the thing, though. They said that's the longest they were together, not the only time.
But in 7 years, the longest y'all been together is 2 weeks, and it was a family vacation? Like, you didn't bring up the 1 week y'all went on vacation by yourselves and did something fun. I mean, I just find that very interesting. So it made me wonder, like, A, maybe there's a religious reason why there's this way. And it's not. That's the first thing that came to my head. It's like, wow, supervised 2 weeks with family.
Right.
And I'm like, are y'all even sleeping together? Like, what's going on with this? So, and I get where they're from, you know, from the Carolinas. You got people that grow up in these small country towns that, you get married young. You both graduate college. Okay, now we're going to get married. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw that when I lived in Nebraska, that people, as soon as they graduated, the next weekend it was their wedding to whoever they were with in college. And so it's common. Right. So maybe Ryan is thinking, hey, we've been together 7 years.
Yeah.
And he's the only person that she's ever dated, which to me, I'm like, Ryan, boo, you should date other people before you choose to be with James. But
so that's exactly what I was going to point out. Now, one of the things that stood out to me was that she said, she's never dated anyone but him. But he didn't say that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells me he's dated some other people too. Or at least one other person. But she said this is the first person she's ever dated. Only person she's ever dated. Interesting to see what's going to happen with these two. But like you said, you know, small town, high school sweethearts. But here's the difference. There's a lot that changes from 16 to 24.
Yeah.
And even if they went to college together, to the same university, if they went to University of South Carolina together, if they went to Clemson together, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean they were living together, even though UTSA was, you know, very different in the way they did things. You could practically live with somebody on campus.
Right.
But it's not like that for everybody. And so, and they needed to grow. And maybe, I don't know. It's interesting to see what happens with these two, because you can't just think, how many times in high school did somebody say, I'll be with you forever, and get to college and who? We met a lot of those people. next couple we meet, though. Interesting couple here. Trey and Raya. They've been dating for 2 years, and Trey issued the ultimatum. So interesting thing here. Two of the guys so far have issued the ultimatum. And he says, look, let's get this clear. Because even James had said he wanted to be financially stable. We know Brian had said he wanted to be financially stable. What does Trey say? Well, look, I got the financially stable part down. We're good. We live together. What are we waiting for? I'm ready to move on to the next thing. You look at their years, their age, and you realize, yeah, she may be a little younger than him. And they say women are more mature than men. But he's definitely leaps and bounds ahead of her.
He is. I mean, he has his professional career in order. And I think he's just one of those people that he reached a certain milestone in his life where he's like, okay, I got my job. I have this. Now I need my person.
Right.
And he feels he found his person. Okay, now let's get married. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to have a kid. But he's all in. And she's a beautiful girl. And I think he's just, you know, wrapped up in that. She's still trying to figure out what she wants to do with her life. You know, she works at Hooters. Nothing wrong with working at Hooters, right? Mm-hmm. Look up Kat Cole. Kat Cole's a phenomenal woman who started her career at Hooters and now is a CEO of a lot of different brands. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't know what she wants to do. And so maybe she's trying to like figure all that out. And, you know, I don't know if Trey's wanting like a stay-at-home mom, you know, and he wants to be the breadwinner and take care of her. She still feels like she wants to be independent. So they're an interesting mix.
It's interesting, too, because she says she's never seen a successful marriage, right? Which is interesting to hear her say. But, I mean, a lot of people haven't seen that, especially if you live on TikTok and you live on social media. You won't see a lot of successful anything because this is one of the things she compares the stuff that he does. Like, she's like, oh, he doesn't do this for me, right? Well, his thing was like, well, I did something for her, did the rose petals down to the bedroom, all this other stuff. And she was like, that's nice, but it looked better on TikTok.
Yeah. To me, I was like, okay, Trey, red flag.
Yes.
Right there. You're dealing with a woman that says, hey, this nice thing you did for me doesn't exactly mirror what I showed you on TikTok. So I have a problem with it. That's just immaturity, in my opinion. I think that's just an immature thing. And it's immature of her to say, I've never seen a successful marriage. Because a successful marriage depends. There's not a definition that says this is what a successful marriage is. It's different for everybody. You know, so I don't know what she's looking for that she's not seen in any of the couple, but I think that's just something a young person would say.
Well, there's that. Then she's also saying like she needs to figure out her I don't knows, right? Which was to me was like, interesting. And then she followed it up and said part of it is that she's still wondering if her soulmate is still out there. And I went, there it is. That's the I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that this is my soulmate. What's the issue?
Yeah.
And I know as we get deeper into the episodes, we'll figure out what the issue is. But that told me, again, you said red flag earlier. I threw another one up.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it sounds like she has this mindset that there's this one person out there for her. Yeah. And she's not sure if Trey is it. And it reminds me what James told Ryan, because James said, I don't know if I believe there's one person for everybody. There's 8 million people.
Right.
Can't believe there's just one. So for Trey, from what he grew up and saw with his family, he believes, and you and I have talked about this before when we recapped other shows, it's a choice. You doesn't mean this is your perfect person. It's just this is who you choose to be with. And his parents have been together over 30 years. He believes that it could happen. You just got to choose who you want to be with. Where Raya is still like, you know, one foot in, one foot out. Yeah. I just wonder what makes Raya stay. If that's the case, that's how you've been feeling for 2 years. What makes you stay that long?
Okay, so here's the thing I have with this relationship too, right? Because this was another red flag to me. And I think it's Trey is very, like you said, he likes her. He thinks she's attractive. He wants that, you know, arm candy. Because she asked him, would he be okay if she said she doesn't want to have kids, right? And he's not really listening. He's just like, look, I'll tell you what I want. I want to be with you. That's not what she said. She said, would you be okay if I said I don't want kids? If going through this process and I realize that this is not what I want. And he says, you know, no, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. He thinks it's just a fear. And he's more focused on marrying her and not listening to what she's saying. Because if you listen carefully and just think, oh, well, if I marry her, she'll change her mind. Not necessarily.
Right. And she's telling you up front, hey, here's my concern. She's not sure she wants the same things that he wants right now. He's ready for all that today. She's still on the fence. And so she can't commit to marrying him because what if she realizes that I don't want to ever have kids? I want to have a career.
What if? It's not that she doesn't want to have kids. She just doesn't want to have kids with him.
That could be it too. There could be a reason that she's, which again, if that that's what I would love to interview her and ask her, why you've been together for 2 years then?
Right.
If you feel all these weird things, why be with the dude for 2 years?
Right.
So that's why I'm wondering, like, what does she get out? Because they live together. And so there's that stability that he brings.
Right.
I'm sure she makes fantastic money as a Hooters waitress, but there's that stability that he brings where it's not depending on tips. And all that. So maybe that's why she stays.
Yeah.
Because maybe she couldn't live the lifestyle she wants to lead, you know, without being together. You know, he, you know, they're talking about, you know, she goes, you have your, he tells her you have your dream car and all that. She goes, but I don't have my dream career. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, how do you have your dream car?
Because he bought it.
That's what, don't know that. Don't know that's if he bought it.
No, you're right.
All I'm saying is, how do you have your dream car? And you don't have your dream career job or even know what you want to do.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you're not paying for rent and utilities and phone and all this other stuff, you can, and you, your paycheck goes to your dream car, you can do that.
Possibly maybe. So.
I mean, we don't know that. I mean, this is assumptions we both have here. Like, I just assume he bought the car when he said that without him just saying, well, I bought you your dream car and just going, well, you have your dream car. And it, that seems like more of his personality as we get to know him when they go along. So I don't see him throwing it in her face. But he's just like, hey, but life is good, right? I mean, this is what you... All right. And that's what I kind of got from that. Final couple here. would be Kat and Alex, who've been dating for 2 years, and Kat issued the ultimatum.
Yeah, they're an interesting couple, and I can't figure out who's the challenge. Right. Obviously, Alex is one that doesn't want to propose yet, mm-hmm. and he says that he hasn't been able to propose because we've just been so busy.
Yo, that was hilarious. I was like, I've been too busy to propose. Hilarious.
Right. I mean, they do a whole lot of experiences together. Mm-hmm. Looks like they've had a pretty jam-packed 2 years. Alex works a lot. I think Kat is a nurse. Mm-hmm. And so she works, you know, probably odd hours, but mm-hmm. I don't see him being too busy to actually propose to her.
Yeah, doing one of my experiences, they could, there's a proposal right there.
Right.
Jumping off the cliff. Will you marry me?
Yeah. I just thought that was weird. So I couldn't quite see it, you know, and Kat feels sure that Alex is her person. And Alex, I like how he said, well, how do you know? Mm. Yeah, because he has doubts, but he just can't imagine why she is just so sure mm-hmm. that she wants to be with him, where he's not sure if he wants to be with her. And I'm curious, as we get to know more about this couple, is what is it that Alex doesn't see in Kat,
right,
that makes him not want to propose? And if she didn't have these things a year ago, why are you still together 2 years?
Exactly. You know, the interesting thing is that she says Alex is going to be jealous when he sees her dating other guys. And then she turns around and proves that, no, it's going to be her that's going to be jealous. Because she goes, and he better not like anybody better than me.
Yeah, Alex doesn't come across that he's going to be jealous. He's like, hey, you want to go through this experience? All right, I'm all in. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Just remember, you brought us here. But yeah, the problem they have is they have issues communicating, and they're both admitting that they need to effectively start using their words, you know.
Yeah. Apparently, Alex doesn't do well with using his words. and it seems like Kat can, but the fact that Alex doesn't, it just shuts her down.
Right.
So she just lets stuff go.
So after, of course, we meet all the couples, they have their last night together. The first day single, it's interesting because one of the things I noticed that Lisa was doing, right? She wanted to talk to the guys who issued the ultimatum, which to me makes sense. It was a great strategy, and she had a reason behind it, which is, look, it's like, if they're the ones that issued, they're ready to get married. These are people I'm going to be more aligned with. I don't need to mess with you other fools who don't want to get married. I already got one of those.
Right. Smart move on her part. There's only two guys mm-hmm. that, you know, she went on dates with.
And threw out the compliments, that's too.
Trey and Antonio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just straight up Trey and Antonio. But the interesting thing about this whole dating scenario, one thing I like about what this show does, everyone's all in the same pool area.
Yes.
Dating. So you get a chance to see
and
your partner
here.
Talking to other people. Yeah. Here. What are they laughing at? What are they doing? And you see people touching, being a little flirty.
Yeah.
And depending on who you are, that mm-hmm. could be a problem. And it seems like that's a problem for Lisa.
It was an, yeah, and the funny thing is, because she started flirting first, and then, wait a minute, in the middle of a date, she's like,
yeah,
looking over here, looking. We saw this in the first ultimatum, season one. And there's always going to be somebody that's that jealous and that insecure that happens. Mm-hmm. Or they just, maybe they're not insecure. They just know their partner well enough to know, you know, every night I got to fight to prove my love. Yo, I thought, here's what was interesting. Kat and James, right? They mm-hmm. sat down and they're like, well, tell me something interesting about you. And Kat's like, well, I've double jointed thumbs, click, 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 click. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm into the sciences. She's like, yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And I got double jointed thumbs. Oh, really?
She's like, oh, something interesting, because James just seems really boring to talk to. And I don't know how many. Yeah, if you think about people that are engineers, I know some, you know, software, you know, environmental engineers that have amazing personalities and are outgoing, but I've come across a lot where you're just like, wow, talking to you is so painful. And that's the vibe I got from James.
Trey is also an engineer. And Trey showed his when he was out there with Roxanne, and on paper, they were a good match. When you hear them first talking, you think, this could be a good match, right? when you just hear them, see them talking the very first time. But then he also connected with Ryan, and the thing that they connected on, the fact that they're both from South Carolina, you know, he's from Sumter, she's from King Street, both of them not too far from Charleston. So, you know, really small towns. And, you know, judging by her accent, I don't know that they would really want him hanging out with her, but.
Because she doesn't know what she want. Like, that's what she says, want. Won't. Hey, won't
that,
and want.
That's that sound the exact same. That South Carolina Southern Belle accent, yeah. Boy.
Yeah, it is. No, when I was watching Roxanne and Trey's date, I'm like, yeah, they're not going to work out because Roxanne wants the power couple. Mm-hmm. She wants that power couple. We're both ambitious, career-driven. We're making money. We're doing things where that's not what Trey wants. Mm-hmm. Trey wants to be in love and have a family. And that's not Roxanne's jam.
You see, that's what I said. On paper, you would say, okay, this could be a good match. But when you see them together, you knew that this wasn't going to be it. I mean, right. And that's not to me. I said, okay, good match on paper, but then there's a better match for her on paper later. But it's just interesting because that's who you see her with next, was Alex. And her and Alex vibed a lot better than her and Trey. And you realize, she looked at Trey and was like, cool, next.
Right. Right. As soon as Alex said that he was in software sales, that lit her up because she's familiar with that industry.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he had been an entrepreneur before and had his own company and sold it, and his parents are entrepreneurs, she just thought, okay, so you can click, you understand what I'm about. Because it seems like she just wants to have someone that's to be with her when she's ready for them to be with her.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if you're in a relationship where you're working all the time, you got your other partner that's not, they're going to want to spend time with you. It's going to pull you away from work. She's thinking that maybe Alex is going to understand and they could both be busy together and we can just both work together and that's it. I mean, yeah, that's what a marriage is. That's awesome. That's what everybody wants.
Brian knew he was attracted to Raya, right?
Yep.
He saw her, was like, yo, locked in. And so he finally gets to sit down with her. Lisa knows it immediately. Across the pool, down the hall, in the next building, two ways over with a building in between all the way up, she locks in still. It's amazing how she knew immediately, oh, that's the one he's looking at.
Yeah.
She knew it immediately.
And she did. And she even said that, you know, she hopes that he has a connection with some of these other people. Mm-hmm. She goes, not like, you know, maybe a small Wi-Fi signal, not a lot of a connection.
I thought that was funny.
I thought that was funny too. But I'm just like, okay, Brian and Rhea, I think they have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. Brian is, they're both attracted to each other. So there's that. Rhea is nowhere near financially stable as Lisa. Mm-hmm. So that puts Brian at that top spot that he's not in in his current relationship.
Yep.
And so maybe that could be good. And the fact that Brian's not in a rush to get married, Rhea's still trying to figure it out. I thought this could be a great connection.
You know, who else had a connection with it seemed, with Raya? At least they had a lot in common. And that was the single moms, looking for communication, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, was James. James and Raya seemed like they connected a little bit too.
Yeah, they did. I think, which is interesting because I, for whatever reason, they feel their lives growing up was really bad and that no one would probably relate to them. You know, Raya growing up with a mom, single mom, who's a reverend. Mm-hmm. So she grew up in church a lot, which I was like, okay, that's why you're at
that's why she's traumatized.
And then James growing up with a single mom who was a truck driver, which is interesting because you don't really come across a lot of, you know, single mom truck drivers. I know there's much out there. You just don't really see a lot of stories.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I think they feel like their partners can't relate. And if you think about Trey and Ryan, how they grew up, their lifestyle was different. They had
it's all
their
about
parents.
Families. Yes.
All about family and all that, where James and Raya's families weren't perfect.
Right.
You know, so I think they just bonded over that with each other.
Indeed. Now, when it's all said and done after the dates, the couples all get together. And you knew this was going to be a bad deal when they all get together and said, all right, who was vibing with who? No, it all
sucks. Yeah.
Let me grab a drink.
Yeah, as soon as they start getting shots, I'm like, here's the drama. I think with any of these shows on Netflix, when you see them start pouring shots, you're like, okay, the drama's about to happen.
Well, that is the reality TV, you know, secret ingredient. Add liquor, wait for the explosion. That's how it's always been. I mean, you know, MTV Real World, the first one, the problem was they had TVs in there. They realized we got a lot of footage of people just laying on the couch watching TV. Pull the TVs out. We never do that again. And that's why they don't have all these other things. And now it's, and they add liquor. Let's everything light up. Well, Raya starts it all off by saying she has a lot in common with Brian. And he, once he hears that, his ears perk up, his heart flutters, his leg starts to shake, and he starts giving her the bedroom eyes. And of course, Lisa notices immediately. Mm-hmm. She's not here for it. Cue the dramatic music. It's about to go down.
Yeah. She's just getting all in her feelings about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And which I knew this whole thing would be awkward anyway. But who wants to say, I had a really great date with this person all right in front of everybody. You knew it was going to be awkward. But Lisa was the one that seemed to have taken it the most hard compared to everybody else. And so she wants to pull Brian aside and have a little fireside chat. And I don't know the purpose of that. Maybe that's to remark her territory.
Or something.
Yeah. I just feel like, why would you do all that? Everyone there, your goal is to try to get to know someone else. Other people.
It was, so here's the thing. And this is what I made a note of this when this happened. Like, she asked for the ultimatum, but he seems more anxious to do this than she does. Yeah. She's like, oh crap. They actually have another attractive black woman here. He's going to try to hit it. I don't need him around her. You know what? Let's go home, baby. No, you brought us here. Let's stay. And did you notice that she was having second doubts?
Yeah. Second doubts. I'm sure she probably meant second thoughts, but...
Whatever.
Yeah. So... eventually they stop, and then Brian and Raya get to talking.
Mm-hmm.
And very flirtatious talk.
Wait, hold up. Did you notice that Raya was, they were having a third person conversation? Because she's like, well, Raya likes to eat.
I was like, he asked her. He asked her, what does Raya like to do? She responds, well, Raya likes, which I thought was odd. Why are you talking third person? But I get it. But... it's what she did. And then they get into the senses, you know, where there's physical touch. Oh, yeah. And Brian knows where she's going.
Yeah.
Like every guy would be like, okay, the window is open. Mm-hmm. Time for me to creep in. Mm-hmm. And just as he was getting close to it, that's when old Lisa shows up. Because I really think Raya is wanting something different physically than what she has with Trey. And I think she's exploring that. And not so much the emotional. Yeah, because she's just throwing that stuff out there. And Brian was all about it. And I think Lisa was able to smell it in the air.
She said, no fishing over here.
Yeah. So like, why do I smell wing sauce and ranch? Where's that bitch?
Where's that Hooters bitch?
Yeah.
Yo, it's the craziest thing that she decided to go interrupt them, right? She's having a hard time. Roxanne tries to talk some sense into her. Like, yo, hey. This is what we all here for. You know, don't let that get to you. And she's like, she's succeeding for about 10 seconds. Then she's like, nope, I'm about to go intrude.
Mm-hmm. And goes there and just interrupts the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And is speaking very, you know, condescending to Raya.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, well, where's Trey? You should go find him.
No, that's why.
And Raya's like, well, where is he? I mean, I didn't see him. He's over there somewhere. Maybe you should go talk to him. And she's like, well, I'm comfortable just talking to myself. And I think Raya picked up on it and said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and leave.
Yes.
So y'all two have a conversation.
Yo, the first thing I thought, though, the way Lisa's reacting cannot be new to Brian at all, right? It can't be. But it's also obvious he's never had this conversation with her. He can't. I mean, he's... we see right now why he is so hesitant to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Because then not only is she loud, disruptive, intrusive on something that you brought us to, but then she slap mushes him and walks out. So now you just go embarrass the man even more.
That slap mush thing bothered me because A, it's not the first time she's done it.
At all.
And I don't condone violence, but also I don't think people should touch each other that way. Mm-hmm. No guy should like smush the woman in the face, and a woman shouldn't smush the man in the face. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it publicly, and you're doing it on national TV. Mm-hmm. So to me, watching that whole thing, that told me a whole lot about their relationship dynamic, at least from my opinion. Yeah. I'm like, Brian, dude, you're weak. Because there's no way you can smush me in the face one time. Mm-hmm. You might do it once, and I'll let you know, don't you ever do that again. And if you ever get to that point, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Brian, why would you be with somebody who's going to do something like that to you?
Yep. No, that's you have to draw the line in the sand. And it's not to the point of somebody does that, you become physical with them. No, you walk the hell out. You don't stop. You keep moving. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing worth any of that at all.
No. And so she tries to walk out. And if I was Brian, I'd have just let her leave. I'm going to go grab myself a cocktail, sit and talk with the rest of the group. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, where's Rye at? Rye, you got a second? Can we finish our conversation while she's mad?
Let's finish our touchy-feely conversation.
Yeah. But he decides to go out.
Does Rye want to have a conversation?
Right. So he decides to go out there. And that's when I lost all kind of respect for Lisa because she gave the ultimatum. She brought him to this process. The goal was him to start meeting, connecting with other people. Mm-hmm. He did that.
Yes.
And now she's like, you know, what are you going to get from this Hooters bitch?
Yes.
Which calling her Hooters bitch annoyed me. Because I'm like, Lisa, that's so wrong. Why are you down talking to her? Mm-hmm. It's not like y'all were at the club and she came up trying to steal your man. This was the purpose of the experience that you signed y'all up for.
Exactly.
Why are you upset?
And she's like, what are you going to learn from her? At least if it was Roxanne, I could understand because she's a boss bitch, which I know you love to hear that term.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The effects of these two is now affecting other people as well, too, affecting everyone else. Because, of course, you just upset the entire mood of the room. Now, Raya's having a breakdown. Trey starts to question his relationship. And, you know, does it even need to be fixed? And it's just all these things that are just happening because of it. But in spite of it, It's like everybody else is like, well, it's just us here, so let's figure out what else we got going on.
Yeah, because I know everybody else is like, well, I know who I'm taking off my list. I know Antonio was like, yeah, let me go ahead and cross Lisa right on off of here. Not interested.
So here's the thing that happened when you got some of these other couples together, right? Like Roxanne and Alex. Roxanne says she likes Alex. She likes that Alex knows he isn't ready to be married, but he wants to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's like, oh, you ever think that maybe you're just afraid of marriage? What is up with these two?
Well, you know, Alex does a good job of calling Roxanne out on some of the stuff that she's saying. And as they're talking on their next date, and she's just like, yeah, you say these things that I didn't even think of. I'm like, this feels like BS to me. Mm-hmm. Like, your mind can't be blown that much.
Right.
Off of what he said. And he's not saying anything profound.
Right.
He's just saying that, you know, well, maybe being married makes you better because you have that partner, that support, compared to having to do it all by yourself. And she's like, I've never thought of it that way. Really?
Right.
Really? Never thought of it. That was the first time you've heard any of that. Yeah. So I thought that was lame, but I still think that she's only connecting with Alex because they have similar traits when it comes to their professional career.
Right. That's true, because you see that a lot with that now. And as all these other couples are starting to date around a little more, you know, Kat and Antonio, Antonio, when you speak of BS, it feels like he's saying all the things that, like, you know, I want to be able to handle all the bills, and then Roxanne's money can go towards her savings. Sounds good, right? But what's he doing to get there?
Right. That doesn't happen overnight. Just to be like, all right, you know what? I got the bills.
Yeah.
Because first, you got to really have a good job. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't at that point. I think he said on their date with Kat that he was working at McDonald's when they first met. Nothing wrong working at McDonald's. I worked at Sonic. Difference was I was at Sonic when I was like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. So don't know what Antonio was doing at McDonald's.
Do you respect fries? Even be more register. Picking up the man at McDonald's? Because we always knew the guy would pick up the girl at McDonald's.
No, it's not about that. I think great that she was open enough to date a dude who worked at McDonald's, you know, but it's not like that was the, like she went to McDonald's, get some food and he just, you know, put his Mac down. He's always been kind of in and out of work and never really had anything, but she's still been with him throughout all that time. So something's up with that, but it seems like Antonio and Kat are starting to bond because they're both with dominant people.
Right.
And so now together they actually have a voice.
Right. Yeah. One to twin powers activate. So Raya is out with James and they're, you know, going deeper on this connection of growing up with single mothers. And it felt like Raya started to make the first move, right? When she asked James, hey, James, would you like to move in? And he's like,
yeah,
you know, well, I'm leaning that way.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty smooth. It's like, yeah, seems like it's going that way. And I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like you're connecting with anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. But he was like, I'm not sure I want to put all my eggs in your basket.
Right.
So right. She goes off to her other connection, her stronger connection, Brian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thought I had was, I think their attraction is purely physical because they really hadn't spoken about anything in depth. And as if on cue, they heard me and they start having deeper conversations. Were you intrigued by their deeper conversations here about financial responsibility, kids, and all this other stuff?
No, because I think that this gave Brian a leg up in the conversation because he has more probably financially and career established more than Raya. Mm-hmm. So for him to say all these things, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have a conversation with someone broke and talk about your finances.
Yeah.
But you're talking to someone who has more than you.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like, I'm not really going to add much to this conversation. So I think this was Brian's time to shine.
Right.
And I think Raya just likes the fact that he seems to be more about going out on dates and doing some of the things that Trey's not doing.
Right.
And he's not in this quick hurry.
Right.
And seems like he'd be a little bit more
fun,
supportive of her trying to figure it out.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that she told us in this conversation is that she said that, you know, kids are important to her. She had this whole plan of what she wanted. She was pregnant 2 years ago, lost a baby, and now she has reservations, right? And now we understand why she said, what if I don't want to have kids? Because she's like, I don't want to have to go through this again.
Right.
And now it makes sense. And it's like, but did they have this conversation? And 2 years ago, was that before she met Trey? Because they've been dating for 2 years.
Could have been right before. Could have been the weekend after. Who knows?
Exactly, right?
You know, who knows what could happen there? But she went through something pretty traumatic, and I can see why that would be give her some reservation. And it doesn't seem like Trey really understood. Doesn't seem like that. I'm sure they've had many conversations about it, just what they've showed.
That's
it. Doesn't seem like Trey gets that her concern is not so much, do I ever want to be a mom and have kids?
Right.
Her fear is, what if I get pregnant again and go through that exact same loss again?
You would think that they would have had that conversation. But then one of the things she says is that she loves Trey, but she misses that. What they're missing is the emotional connection. And I really wonder if they're having real conversations like she had. And you would think that they've had this conversation before, but does it feel like they really have?
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. I don't think so either. Speaking of Trey, he was out with Lisa, and at first I thought they forced Trey to talk to Lisa because as an engineer, he should know how to fix this woman. All right, this is broken. I can fix it. but what I noticed is they actually had good chemistry. These two got along. She's smiling. She's got a big, huge smile on her face. One that we've never seen with her man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I made a note. I think they'd be a good match because she's in a place where she's ready to get married and have babies now.
Right.
Trey's in that exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's financially secure and stable, so Lisa wouldn't have to hold that over him. And I think he has, possibly, but it's because he's a little bit younger than her. Right. But I think they both want the exact same thing, and they're at the same place at the, they're in the right place at the right time of their lives that this is what they want. And so I thought maybe they could be a good match too.
I especially thought that when she said she doesn't like the fact that she likes their dates. And I thought that was an interesting thing, because, you know, because she's there because she wants to marry Brian. And she's like, but I meet you and I'm liking when we sit and we talk. Mm-hmm. And then Trey then reveals him and Raya don't have a lot in common, but he and Lisa do. And he's really feeling her. So this sounds like, okay, I think we got a connection. We see the connection on the other side. That's mostly physical, but this one seems stronger and real. Or am I just reading this wrong?
No, I think you're reading it right. I feel like they do have a lot of the things that you would think on paper make sense, and they should be able to work out. It's just Lisa has a personality challenge.
Did you think, that's a very political way to say that.
Thank you.
Did you think for a moment that it looked like they were about to kiss? As they're just staring at each other, looked like they were in that moment. No. It was like,
and no, just
no,
no, too early. If they were actually like, you know, they chose each other and maybe a week into it, I'd have said yes. But just, you know, on the early stages of it, no.
They just, I mean, the way he made her smile said a whole lot. And like some of the ladies said in our Bachelorette finale, in the post comments, and saying, you know, they love a man that can make them smile. And Lisa seemed to like that. Well, Trey also went out with Ryan, who also reveals that she's not good at expressing her emotions.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of who she's with. Mm-hmm. I think that's why she's only been with this one person.
Yeah.
You know, so how does she really know and understand how to express
emotions
in a relationship? Right. And so she just lets James be James.
Yeah.
And so with Trey, I think that the fact that they bonded over their upbringing and they have all these different things in common, I think Trey's a lot more open than James is when it comes to conversation. And I think that's what is attracting Ryan.
Right. That is a great point. Well, after all these dates, it's time for the choice. And as they introduce everyone, one couple is missing. Lisa and Brian. And I was like, are they just going to pretend they're not there? And then Nick says, well, as you can see, there are two empty chairs here. Lisa and Brian are not here with us. They've removed themselves from the experiment after Lisa took a test and found out that she's pregnant.
So originally, I thought that maybe Lisa was like, forget this, because you know when she stormed off and she's like, forget the ultimatum, forget you, and all this. And so I just figured that she was out.
She was a little more colorful in her words.
So I figured that she was out. And so the producers are like, hey, Brian, I guess you got to go too, because we can't keep you here. Can't have nine, because someone's going to be stuck out. So, sorry. You know, your person who made the ultimatum backed out. But apparently, she's pregnant.
Now, I really want to ask you if you believe her, but I'm going to save that for next episode tomorrow, because that's where we pick up in episode 3, as we do episode 3 and 4, then we'll do 5 and 6, then we'll do 7 and 8, and get ready for the live finale, which we'll do, what, Thursday or Friday? We'll make that determination as we move forward. So, hey, make sure you like, comment, let us know what you think, and we'll be back tomorrow as we get to Ultimatum Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.